With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You saw Gullit, Rijkaard, Van Basten. Then I said to my friends when I was in the academy, you know, one day I will play for AC Milan. Then they was like, ah, come on, you're joking. It was funny. But after I have met a Galliani, for me, that things come back to my head. And then from there, I said to myself and I said to my friend, I will play for that team.
Welcome to the Coffee and Football Podcast. I'm Sebastian Alvarado, and I'm the host of this show where I sit down for a long-form interview with some of the most interesting and influential profiles in the game. Today's guest is Ibrahim Ba. He's a former professional player with a career spanning over 17 years with clubs such as Le Havre, Bordeaux, AC Milan, Olympique Marseille, and Bolton, to name a few. He has 8 caps and 2 goals with the French national team. This is an incredible conversation where we discuss the ups and downs of his career from the early days in the French league to signing for the legendary AC Milan team to playing for the French national team with players such as Zidane, Desailly, Deschamps, Dugarry, and many more, to being cut from that same team just a few weeks before the World Cup that France ended up winning. All that and much more in this amazing episode. So without further ado, let's dive straight into it. Ibu, it's a great pleasure to have you here and welcome to the Coffee and Football Podcast.
Thank you very much. I must say that I'm really honored to be here today and let's have fun.
Absolutely. I'm sure we will. And typically my first question, because I call it Coffee and Football, how do you like your coffee?
Usually I go for a latte. I like it a mix, you know, a little bit both black and, you know, milk.
How you doing today? You're here visiting New York for a few days?
Yes, I'm here to visit New York because, first of all, I had a surprise birthday party. A friend had a birthday, so we decided to come here and then to make him a surprise. So happy birthday to Sheva.
Yes, a big happy birthday. He actually turned 40.
Yes, so that's the reason why we came. But we had a fun period and a fun days with him. Obviously, you know, 40, it's something new, and then you, when you get 40, so you know that the life is in front of you. So that was also one of the reason, the main reason we came.
I'm sure he appreciated that.
Yeah, we did have fun, yeah.
Did you go to some good spots here in New York?
Well, I mean...
Do you know the city well, by the way?
Kind of. I came sometimes in New York, but for his birthday, we went in different places. The dinner we went to at Catch in Packing.
Okay. Yeah. Very cool. What are you working on these days? So what do you keep yourself busy with?
I'm a little bit busy traveling and doing some different stage on different clubs. Obviously, because I'm working on my license to become a coach, which is like I already have one. So I have to work on the differences. So soon as later, yeah, hopefully get a team.
Which license do you have now so far?
Right now I have the B, so soon, which is like the next few months, I should be doing the A. So, you know, it's a step by step.
And are you doing this all in Milan?
In Italy, because I think, you know, the Italian Football, the Federation, and obviously the background from the Italy is a lot of things that we could learn, and I decided to do it in Italy. I couldn't do it in different places, in France or in England, whatever it is. But I decided because I believe, the tactical part and everything come to Italy, and then I think it is really interesting. And as a coach, if you have a possibility to do it in Italy, I think it's very good.
You mentioned here earlier when we were talking that you travel around a bit and visiting different clubs. Can you take me through that and what's typically like your process and your goals?
Well, you know, every place and every country have something different. But today, you know, the football is changing a lot. So if you go and check what's going on different culture and different countries, so you will see a lot of differences. You know, we talk a lot about the Italian style, which is like a tactical part. We go to Spain, then we know, you know, you have to be technically very good. And then you go to England, then they will say to you, you have to be strong physically because it's, you know, it's a 90 minutes up and down. So all those countries have something different. And as a coach, it is very important to understand these games and to understand those work. And it, for me, it is very interesting because going and see how they develop, how they work on different base of the day. So it is something for me really interesting.
What are some of the interesting clubs that you've been visiting, and what are some things that stand out to you in terms of how they work?
Basically, you know what's happening. Most of the clubs have the same workout typically, but what changes will be the difference will be, let's say, come from the player. And that makes the differences. And, you know, I've been to Chelsea. If you go to Chelsea, you don't think it's an English-style football they're having, because a lot of players and a lot of young kids technically are very, very good. And it is something really interesting, because normally everybody knows that in England it is like, running like hell. But today, the way they're playing, the way they're training, it is something unbelievable. And I really enjoyed it. And obviously, I will do different stage and see different other clubs to compare all of this, and I'm really excited.
Are you involved currently you live in Milan, are you currently involved with any teams around there?
Yeah, I've been doing as an assistant coach because I have to do it for me, obviously, to learn the game and to, you know, to be able to practice every day. Beside that, you know, it is also interesting for me to see the international ways, what's going on, and it's a mix of it, and I like it.
Take me through a typical day in your life today. What time do you get up? What kinds of routines do you have? And then from there on?
Well, usually my wake up call, they say it will be 7:45. From there, you know, the coffee. Then you get out. I go to the gym. I do meeting with friends or for work, because, you know, in the football industry, you have a lot of people that you want to meet, or they want to meet you because you want to talk about the game, you want to talk about players and all the stuff like that. So I do that often, and to not say it every day. Then lunch, typically with my friend. Afternoon, training session. And evening, obviously, if it's game in the TV, you watch it. Otherwise, you still have a dinner with your friends, and yeah. That is the way I live with.
I understand that it's important for you to stay in shape, obviously, even for the past couple of days that we've been talking. You've been going to the gym every morning. What kinds of workouts do you typically do?
Well, I try to mix everything. Usually when you go to the gym, everybody is expecting to do body weight because this is the main thing today. But I like to do a mix of everything. So from Pilates to yoga, or mixing with, cycling and all the stuff like that. So I like that. It's happened also. I do play tennis also. And yeah, like I said, I mix it. So I like it.
Do you play any football?
Yes, I do play football two times a week, usually, which is like on Sunday, on Monday, and on Saturday with my ex-teammate when I'm in Milan.
Is it the older boys of AC Milan? Or?
Yeah. We have these common things that we do every Monday. We play each other. We have like 6, 7, 8 against 8, and we do that on, like I said, on Monday and on Saturday. So basically the guys who comes in, if Vierizini come, Maldini, Ambrosini, Costa Corta, I mean, this is our basic. And then from there, yeah, we challenge other guys who like to play against us. So that's cool.
And it looks like you all stay in pretty good shape still.
Kind of, yeah.
Does it get competitive?
It is, because, you know, then you always want to win. So the fun thing is, like, the team will lose, will pay the pitch. Obviously, you want to win. So that's a good thing.
I'd like to ask you a little bit about your upbringing and start. So if you can take me through first, where were you born and then where did you grow up?
I was born in Senegal in 1973, 12th January. I've been growing up in Senegal, Dakar, until the age of 12. From there, I came to France with my parents. Then Paris till 17, 18. Went to Le Havre, where I start my career in the academy. From there, football professional, I start my career in Le Havre. From Le Havre, I went to Bordeaux, Milan, Milan, Perugia, Marseille, then come back to Milan, went to Bolton, then went to Sweden, Jurgården. Before Sweden, I went to Turkey, and then from the Turkey, I went to Sweden, and then come back to Milan.
Where in Paris did you grow up?
18, 18 Barbès, Pigalle. This is the area.
In order to get to know you just a little more personally, what can you tell me about the place where you were growing up?
Well, I won't say that I was living in the villa with the pool. And I grew up, you know, an area in Paris, which is like, you know, it's a mix of everything. Immigrate, and I've learned a lot from there. Obviously, you know, spending a lot of time in the street, but thank God things was good and I made it, and yeah, I'm happy with that.
Can you tell me a little bit about that culture in Paris and growing up with kind of the duality of having the Senegalese background and now living in France?
When I was born at the age of 2, my parents lived and went to Europe, and I had to stay with my grandma, which is like, she's the one who educated me. Obviously, you know, in Africa, in Senegal, that was something totally different from what I have discovered later when I come to Europe. Because, you know, you couldn't be in the street every day without no murders, no problems, because it was no danger on that. And then you came to France, which is a different culture, different people, you don't know nobody, so you have to learn, and you don't speak proper French, so you have to learn to speak French. You have to go to school, which is like a different school, different mentality, different timing. That was really something strange for me, but my parents did it because they want me to have a better life. And obviously, you know, it's a normal school. That was a private school. So at the end, you know, you meet guys which is like different cultures, different countries, and you spend time with them. Some guys are good, some other guys wasn't good, but at the end, that make you, you know, learning and getting stronger, understanding the different culture, the different people. And at the end, I have learned a lot with that. Obviously, everything wasn't perfect because I did bad things. I did, I think, good things, but less good than, you know, bad. So
when you say bad things, what kind of things would that be?
You know, I had to be away from the area where I grew up in Paris for a certain period because it wasn't really good things I did. So from there, I have learned. So obviously, things have changed, and then you learn. Of course, I made it because at the end, I had the possibility to meet new people, and it was something really interesting for me because it made me become what I am today. I mean, being a football player.
What was your first involvement with football in a more organized fashion or with a team when you were a young guy in Paris?
Different places. I get fired from PSG when I was a kid because I had to mix it with the school and going to the training and to play it. But it was too far. And then it was for me difficult to be able to go to the school. And then after that, take the train and going to the training ground, which is like was really far. And one day my parents get a letter from the club saying that because of the missing of different training, they won't take me. So, yeah. Then from there, I did different clubs in Le Banlieue, like they said in France, so Paris FC. Then I had this period from, you know, the age of 15, bad period, fighting and, you know, the, like I was saying, you know, bad things. So I have to move outside of Paris because it was no option that I couldn't stay in Paris. And I did it. And from where I was, you know, I started step by step and I was working. To be honest, I get fired from the school. So I had to start to do something. I start to work and working and playing a lower level in football.
What were you working with?
I was working in the store, which is like without no graduation, no nothing. I have to work because my dad told me if you can't go to school, you have to do something. So I had to start to work and at the age of 16. So that's what I did. Being outside of Paris, I had this connection with some friends. They was playing, so I went to this club and I started to play there. And yeah.
What was the most important advice that your dad gave you?
Take care of your family. When you come from Africa, from South America, you know, what makes us strong is our family. You know, being immigrant. That's the things will make you, you know, strong. It's your family. So you can do a lot of things. But at the end, it's only one thing that you have is your family.
What was the moment when you realized that you had a big talent for football and you had an opportunity to go on and take next steps within it?
When Le Havre took me, because before that, I've been on different clubs, but none of them took me. And Le Havre decided to take me and the chairman at the time, because one thing I have to tell you also, my dad used to be a player, so he was a professional too. So he had played in that club. And I guess that's the reason why the chairman took me at the beginning. I think it was more a favor than any other things. But being there, at the beginning was something, you know, it was, let's say, you know, I don't know if I was there because of my quality or because of my dad. But I was there and I started with the academy. I was 17. I wasn't playing so much, to be honest. I had also not a good relationship with the coach of the academy. And one day it was a game between the first team and the academy team. And the coach sent it to me to play with the other guys who wasn't playing against the first team. I went, I played. Then the following day, I get a message from the coach of the first team telling me to come back again to train with them. I went. Then for a week, I did it. Then he asked me again for a week. After that, after 2 weeks training with the first team, he said to me, listen, from now on, you will come and train with us. Just like that, it happened like that. And I was training with the first team. And at the end, I was going and play with the academy. So the coach from the second team, which is like the academy, I had to let me play. Because if I was training with the first team, so it was no way that, you know, I could not. Even though at the beginning, he was trying to make it difficult for me. But at the end, it happened. And just like that. So, yeah, my career started like that.
How did you keep up with the level? Did you adapt easily to the first team level?
Yeah. I mean, like, I think physically everything was fine. So it wasn't problems about not to be, you know, strong or whatever. Because if he asked me for 2 weeks, he saw me train with the guys. And those guys was like much, much older than me with experiences. I was like 17. He liked it the way that I was in the on the training on the field, and he saw maybe something on me, and then he wanted to, you know, to see how far he couldn't go with me. And he was really, you know, he was the type of guy with, for me, was like a dad. At the end, he was my coach, but he was always behind my back, you know, looking at me. And then even though when I was doing something good, he was coming to me and telling me, look, you know what, I didn't like it. I was like, seriously? What he's saying? So I have to make it, you know, much, much better. And yeah, that was something really, really like crazy. But thanks to him, thanks to Pierre Mankowski, I became a professional because he made me do my first game with the first team at the age of 18. Then at the end of the season, I signed my contract as a professional.
Take me through that. How did that happen when you're about to sign your first contract and sort of the process that happened and the feelings that were going through you? And I'm sure your dad was probably proud at that moment.
Yes. But, you know, before that, it was a lot of comparison, you know, between me and my dad, because obviously my dad was a football player. He had played there. Well, no, strong character. Friends of my dad or people were always starting to say, oh, you know what, your dad used to do that, he was this and that and that, so it is something that you have to take, you know. But the most thing was like my mom at the end, you know, to get back a little bit on the story. When I starting to get in trouble in France, in Paris, once someone said to my parents, do not jeopard is your, you know, your family and your other kids. It would be better that you send back your son, talking about me, back to Senegal, because the way he is and what I see is he will be more getting in trouble than any other things. And my dad thought about it, but my mom did not want. So, I guess... if my mom had said yes, so probably I will be back in Senegal. So if everything happened for some reason, my mom.
When was the moment when you actually started playing on a regular basis and there weren't any more comparisons to your dad and they were seeing you for who you actually are?
Well, you know, my first game, to be honest, wasn't good because...
Against who did you play?
Sochaux. Was in January 92. It was a away game. I remember I had Pubalgi. I don't know if you understand what is it.
Yes.
Like, you know, the groin problems at Pubalgi. Yeah. So I wasn't really good. So after that game, I did not play for a while. And at the end of the season, coach thought that it was good for me to be sent alone. So I could, you know, improve and play more games. But we had a cup game, and then he made me play those games, and I did very well. So he changed his mind, and I stay in Le Havre. And from that moment, I've been playing for the whole season.
And then in 1996, I believe it was, you went to Bordeaux. How did that happen? And Bordeaux, I believe they had just been a European Cup finalist the year before and was one of the very prominent teams. I believe they had sold Zinedine Zidane to Juventus right before you got there.
Yeah, not only him. Vicente Luzarazzi went to Spain, Atletico Bilbao. Christophe Dugarry went to Milan. Before to go to Bordeaux, I wasn't supposed to go to Bordeaux. I was supposed to go to Nantes. Was the team who won the league at that period. And my dad and my agent, I've spoke to different clubs and I made it to play for Nantes because I had friends over there with Claude Makélélé and Christian Caramba. So I thought that, you know, it was cool to go in and play with them. But at the end, from Le Havre to Paris is 2 hours. So I was in the car and I was going back to Le Havre and I get the phone call. And that was a funny thing because that was the first time, you know, that we used to have the cell phone. 97, you know, 96, 97. So I get that was, you know, the young guy with my phone and everything. So I get a phone call and someone was telling me, hello. I'm like, hello. He's saying to me, you know, I'm Roland Courbis. I'm like, okay. Then he said, seriously, I heard that you want to go to Nantes. I'm like, yeah. He said, I think you should come to Bordeaux because I'm going to be the coach over there. Of course, a lot of guys are leaving. Zidane went to Juventus. Dugarry went to Milan. Lizarazu, Vishka, all of those guys are going to leave. So I have to build a team. And building this team, I want you to be a part of this team. And because I want you to be, for us, someone really important. So I'm like, oh, okay. I think this guy is crazy, but whatever it is. I'm like, okay, I will think about it. And so, you know, we end up the phone and so I go. We was driving and 20 minutes after I get another phone call. So I said, yeah. He was like, okay, it's me again. I said, yeah. He said to me, have you think about it? I said, but we talked about it like 20 minutes ago. He said, so you have to make a decision, because the thing is, like, what you think is going to be, is it going to be like maybe a month to think about it? You don't have that time, because it's going to be the same thing if you're going to play football tomorrow on the pitch. If you get the ball, it will take you like, what, 20 minutes to think about it, or many seconds? So that was a funny thing, but I like it. I like it from that moment. So I said, listen, you know what? I'm going to Bordeaux. And yeah, that's what happened. That was crazy.
How is your, obviously Bordeaux and traditionally, and especially around that time, brought up all these amazing players. What is it that makes them special in the way they bring up that level of players?
You know, after you spend 5 years, because I spent 5 years in Le Havre, and be able to play every year without no injury, it was something amazing. And then you get this opportunity, because let's say Le Havre, which is like a team that one of the oldest, to not say the oldest team in France, in Europe, you decide to go another step. And everyone knows Bordeaux have a history. In France, everybody remember two clubs fighting to win the league. It was Marseille and Bordeaux. So being able to go and play for such big team, it was something amazing from where I come from. I wasn't expecting, because to be honest, you know, Bordeaux, when you saw the final, UEFA final, Bordeaux losing against the German team Bayern Munich, I wasn't thinking like I could go to Bordeaux. And then especially, like you said, you know, guys was like Zidane and others, Tigana, so many guys that play for Bordeaux. I wasn't thinking like that. But getting that opportunity for me was like something amazing. But then I signed for 5 years. Being there, 5 years contract, a new team, a new life, big city from where I came from. 13 new players and that year comes in. So it was something to rebuild, because a lot of players went away, you know, after the final, after that final loss. So it was something exciting, but also, you know, you don't know what's going to happen. And that was really a great moment.
How would you describe the French league during that period in terms of those years were a lot what's kind of set the foundation and put France back on the world stage, both in terms of players and later on as a national team?
You know, France, everybody knows France about the football because so many great talented players have been there. We talk about 82, 86. We talk about Platini, Tegana, Giroud. Then after that period, we had the bad period. France don't go to the World Cup in 1994. So things have to change. You don't see no more about Cantona, Ginola. And then new generation comes in. Zidane, Dugarry, Lizarazu, Thuram, and others. And I was younger than them. But I had the chance to play with them, with the under 21. So, you know, I mean, it was something, you know, step by step, you know, that you see the generation, but nobody, we had the quality, but nobody couldn't think that with these guys, one day they're going to win the World Cup. So France at that period, we talk about between 96, 97, 98, so many players was playing not only in France, but outside. Because if we go and check and look what's happened in 98, I believe like 23 players who did the World Cup, maybe three guys been playing in France. The rest was playing outside of France. Deschamps was playing for Juventus, Zidane Juventus. Dugarry was playing for Milan first, then he went to Barcelona. Caramba was playing in Real Madrid. So, you know, it was so many, many guys. Frank Leboeuf was playing for Chelsea. I mean, I believe his Barthez was playing only in Monaco, I think.
Yeah.
But the rest of the guys, from Petit was playing in Arsenal, Vieira was playing in Arsenal, Djorkaeff was playing in Inter. So, I mean, everyone also had bring something, because on different clubs and also on different leagues, you have learned a lot. Nobody thought that France could win. Of course, you know that France have a lot of potentiality with a lot of good players, but nobody could expect it, because before the World Cup and all the games that we had, okay, we've been winning, but it was not like something like you said, oh, these guys, they're going to match up, they're going to kill the World Cup. Everybody expecting to see more like Italy, or everybody was expecting to see Brazil, Argentina. But we had the chance also because we was playing at home. And I think, you know, at the end we had luck and also, you know, having a team with this great players, yeah, France win the World Cup.
Et c'est fini! L'équipe de France est championne du monde! Vous le croyez ça? L'équipe de France est championne du monde en battant le Brésil! 3-0, deux buts de Zidane, un but de Petit.
When was it that you first got into the youth national teams?
After I came to play for Le Havre, then I started to go with the national team under 18. I was young, you know, 17, so Zidane, others was already there. I was younger than them, but I had the chance already to be part of the team. And after came another generation where we was like Vieira, Makelele, and others, you know. When I went to the national team under youth, under 18 to under 21, so, you know, like I said, Thuram and others, all of those guys was like older than me, like maybe like 1 year to 2 years, you know, depend on the period they was born. So it was something cool because, you know, you look at yourself, you say, come on, I'm the youngest on this team. So, but it was really nice because you start to know those guys and everything. And also at the period with the you know, the service, the military. So we, in France at the time, you have to do it. So we had this section, a sports section, which is like, even though if you have to be in the uniform and you have to do it. So it was cool because we spent a lot of time also together.
In terms of your identity and being from Senegal, was it an obvious choice to go with the French team? Or was there ever a thought of maybe I should look at Senegal?
I did it once before I take the decision to go with the under 18. The first time I get the call to go for the French under 18 national team, I said to my dad, listen, I get these things, but I'm not sure if I wanted to go because I was thinking about Senegal. Me and my dad have a talk. So he told me, listen, it is your decision. It is not mine. You have to feel it or not. Then I went to speak to the chairman of the club, which is someone who took me in the club, you know, and the coach, obviously, because he made me become what I am today. So because of him, obviously, it was also something that I have to talk to him. At the end, I made my decision because what happened before I came to play for Le Havre and the background, the story and everything. Yeah, I decided I was going to play for France.
The 96-97 season in Bordeaux, you had a phenomenal year. How would you describe that? Because that was really when we started taking very big steps and started to get other teams from around the world watching you.
1 year before, with Le Havre, I had the possibility to go from Le Havre to different clubs. Torino wanted me. Monaco, Ajax. I never thought about them because I was 20, 21. So I wasn't thinking to from Le Havre, and I was okay with that, you know. For me, you know, things was great, and I had 1 year left contract, and everybody started to talk to the club, and I knew that the club was starting to talk with different clubs about me, you know, about a transfer and everything. That's the reason why I take the decision to move. But beside that, if they was saying to anybody no, I don't think I would move from Le Havre, you know, at that period. Like I told you earlier about the story with Bordeaux, I was already playing. I did great that year. So obviously going to Bordeaux with that year they had, everybody's expecting, everybody's looking to see how I'm going to perform or not, you know, on the big stage. Because it was a new challenge, not only for me, also for Bordeaux, because, you know, you have like 13 new players, a new coach. Everybody's looking to see what Bordeaux are going to do. The coach, like I told you, you know, Roland Courbis knew me. He said to me, you're going to play and I'm going to make you play the way that I think you have to play, which is like, you're going to play up front. Someone will be behind you. It's up to you now to do it or not. So it just happened. And I do remember the first game, the funny thing, so the first game on that year, the league was Le Havre against Bordeaux. So yeah. It just happened like that. I like I told you, you know, I signed for 5 years in Bordeaux. Every game, I take it step by step. Things goes well, you know. Assist, scoring, great feeling with my teammate. Everything was great. I mean, it's something that you thing, like, wow, what's going on here? I'm flying, you know, nothing could stop you. You know, everything was like going on the floor, you know. From there, winter break, a friend of mine, my teammate, Jean-Pierre Papin, come and say to me, you know what, I have spoke to someone, he wanted to talk to you to see if you wanted to go over there. I'm like, where and who? He said to me, Fabio Capello. I'm saying, what? He said, yeah, he wanted to take you to Real Madrid. I'm like, no, I can't go. I just arrived here. It's 6 months I'm in Bordeaux. What am I going to do in Real Madrid? He said, well, I'm just saying to you, because I spoke to him and he tell me he want to take you to Real Madrid. I said, but I signed for 5 years. How is it going to happen? I can't. To be honest, I was afraid. I'm 20 years old. I was doing well in Bordeaux. I signed for 5 years. I knew it that the coach believed in me. He showed me that. So everything for me was, you know, no way. One day I get a phone call from the chairman, because at the time, Bordeaux have 2 chairmen. So they called me. So I went to see them. We have a lunch. One Sunday, I remember. They said to me, you know, how are you doing? I'm like, I'm fine. They said to me, well, we were thinking maybe we could sign like maybe a 3 or more years. I thought that was a little bit strange, because, you know, when you have like 5 years contract and then why are you thinking to sign someone for 3 more years when you already have like 5 years contract? I'm like, yeah, I'm cool. And they said, but you have to stay on the same level of your wages. Okay. Then I called my agent and my dad. I told them the story. So my agent said to me, listen, the reason why, because they have an offer from Real Madrid for you. What you want to do? Then I told him, listen, I'm not going nowhere, but I'm not going to sign the contract also with Bordeaux, because having those period already, so it don't make no sense. And if they are not willing to raise my contract, it don't make no sense, you know. So we stay on that way. So I said to everyone, I'm not moving, I stay, and then no need to talk anyway. So then January, I get a call from the national team, first team, where I was selected to play against Portugal.
How did that make you feel?
Whoa, national team, France. Remember a year before, 2 years earlier, going to the stadium, watching them, seeing David Ginola, those guys, Bernard Lama, when I used to, ask, of course, seeing them when I was in the academy, and then at the end be able to play against them. But I mean, you see this national team with these guys playing, Dimeco, Onmeta, you're like, oh my God, what's going on? And you get called for the first team, you're just like, no, something is wrong. And suddenly the news everywhere, everyone, you know, Ibrahim Ba being selected for the first team with the French national team. Everyone starting to come to Bordeaux, journalism asking you questions and all the stuff like that. You know, you just like I said, you know, it was these things that I get. Everything goes, you know, on the same way, you know. So you're happy, you're excited, and it's no question. You know, you don't ask questions. You just like, okay, let's do it, you know. Let's do it.
And what was it like the day that you show up for the national team camp for the first time?
We were supposed to play on Wednesday. So game with Bordeaux. And the following day, I have to go to Paris because the training ground, the national team, Clairefontaine, was in France, in Paris, nearby. So from Bordeaux, you take the plane and you go there. And then obviously I knew it before because we're under 21. But, you know, the first team of the, like they said, Le Chateau, which is like, I mean, the castle, you know. So yeah, you end up there. And Aimé Jacquet comes in. You say hi to everybody, because those guys who are already there at their own, you know, seat. So me, I remember, I think it was me and Robert Pires. So we are the youngest on the team. Zizou was there, Deschamps, Duzai, all those guys. And you're looking everywhere, you say, wow, where am I? You know, what am I doing here? This is crazy, that's fun, you know. And then you get out and you wear the, you know, training stuff, and the journalists are there and photographers. So everybody taking pictures, everybody, you know, interview everywhere you go. So, you know, I was like, oh, seriously? I didn't know that was like that, you know, but that was really something cool. And then, yeah, the coach come to me and then we start to talk. The training is, you know, we have a game on Wednesday, Sunday. You have a game on Wednesday. So he's saying to me, you know, we have been following you. we know what you're doing, and you know, we see things and everything. So we thought that, you know, you should be, we should give you the chance to come with the first team and then to play with the national team. So he told me he don't know if he's going to put me first or if I'm going to start or if I'm going to be on the bench and get in during the game, but the opportunity will be there. So, but for him, it was like already to tell me that I'm a part of the house, you know, I'm part of the group. So that was the thing. So yeah, I'm like, okay, thank you. You know, what could I say? I can't say more, you know, so that was the thing. Then following days, training, games, exercise and everything. Everything was cool, you know. Then we went to Portugal, Braga, and we play against Portugal.
How did you do?
I think that's for everybody, everyone who play football, we want to be able to go the first game with the national team. That's what you're looking for. Because being able to play 60 minutes, whatever it is, starting, scoring, what can you ask more? And that's what happened for me.
How was the time after that, and which way did it change your life?
I mean, in all ways. Because after that game, it became something sensational, you know, something like you are like seeing people are look at you and your life change, and clubs, people, agent, everyone want to do something with you. Everyone want to do something with you. And yeah, that happened.
You talk a little bit about how, you know, it was this flow and everything just was going up and very positive. What would be, if any, some challenges? So what were the most difficult parts of being part of all of that? Because you were still very young at the time.
I believe the difficult part would be, you know, not to be focused on your game and not to be focused on your team. But I had to change because my family was next to me at the period. Always been with them, even though, you know, when I was young, I have to move out from the, you know, the comfort zone, the family, the, you know, being in the house, same house with my mom and my dad and my brother and sister. I did it young, but at the end, I always had them with me. So the difficulties was like to refuse things because everybody wants to have something from you, and questioning, journal, interview, everything, you know, and you have to be able to say no. And that was the most difficult things to do, you know, to say no. And I guess because I've been protected by my coach and my family. So, and, you know, I always had the chance to have good friends with me. So that was also something who saved me also on that period.
Then in the summer of 97, you had been playing with the national team, and then the Confederations Cup came around, which, for those who don't know, it's the pre-tournament before the World Cup with the top national teams from around the world. And you had a pretty significant role in that. Tell me about that tournament.
After the game played with Portugal, other games comes in. So we had the game against Netherlands. We had the game against Sweden. So, you know, it was a part of different games because France wasn't doing the qualification for the World Cup because they were going to do the World Cup in France. So it was no, you know, it was no qualification. So being part of the national team and being able to play against Brazil, Italy and England, I was like, okay, another round, you know, something else, you know. One thing's happened on that because on that period between March and that tournament, I get different proposition. The first time I went to London, my agent took me there to go and see a game. It was an Arsenal game. After the game, I saw Nicola Anelka, Patrick Vieira. At the end, I had the dinner with my agent and Mr. Wenger. And another person who was the chairman, David Dean. We talk about football and everything. And they said to me, you know what? We want you to come and play for Arsenal. Okay. I'm like, but I have 5 years contract. He said, no, you don't have to worry about that because we already talk about with your club, Bordeaux, the chairman. So they knows exactly that we are interesting. They give us the opportunity and the chance to talk with you. So that's why you are here with us. And I was a little bit surprised because I thought that, you know, the club couldn't tell me something, but they never told me. But at the end, it was something that you learn about, you know. So Then I said to them, I will think about it. Obviously, I had a great weekend, you know, being in London, see the games and see the guys and that I know. So everything was, it was a great. So you go back. And then I went to my coach again because...
Sorry to interrupt. How was that meeting with Wenger? And what were some of the things that he would say?
The meeting was something, you know, a coach who knows the game, who knows the player. And comments, you know, just talk with you about football. And it was a simple thing, you know, seeing me playing. He have sent people to see me, but he know me. And he was a coach also in France, in Monaco before that. So, so he saw me grow up. So that was the thing. So at the end, the question was like for him, he was like, if I'm interested to go and play for Arsenal. Because in his mind, he have few guys that he's thinking to play on that position. I was the first guy that he wanted to take. Before to take someone else. So he wanted to know if I was interested. So yeah, that's what happened with Arsene.
And then what happened after that?
I went back to the club and I spoke to the coach. I told him what happened and he knew. And so I said, what about the club? He said to me, the club had agreement with already 2-3 clubs. Arsenal, Barcelona, Valencia. I said, but I don't know nothing about that. He said, yeah, now you know. Yeah. So that's what happened. So Arsene been talking with my dad and my agent for ages about all that period before the tournament. And then I get other offer who comes out after, because then when they knew that border had agreement with any clubs who was like Barcelona, Valencia and Arsenal, every club was agreed to pay what border was asking. The only question was remain is like, what me I'm going to do, where I'm going to sign. That was the question. To be honest, after I spoke to Arsene, if I had to go somewhere, I wanted to know the coach or spoke to the coach before anything. Barcelona, I never spoke to the coach. So the clubs did the deal and said that's it. So when I had asked to talk to the coach, but it never happened. Valencia, same thing. So I didn't know who was the coach. So I only spoke with the chairman and everything. So it's same thing with Barcelona. And then Real Madrid. I guess it was more a game between the club, because Real Madrid, you know, a team when a guy wants to go to, or someone have to go to Barcelona, you know, Real Madrid goes in. But that was not from Florentino Perez. It was the old... chairman of the club. So he came with his agent and they spoke to Bordeaux. And to be honest, between all these clubs, if I have to talk about money, I was going to earn more money was in Real Madrid than any other clubs. And then I'm in Paris with my mom and my brother and sister, you know, in the street and just having ice cream. And I get a phone call from my coach telling me, listen, you have to go to the airport. It's some people, they wanted to see you. So I went to the airport, the Bourget, and there I meet Mr. Galliani and Mr. Breida from AC Milan. Hello, I comes in and they speak to me in French, you know, how are you? Okay, you know, all the things, you know. So, and then they said to me, but before we keep going, someone will want to talk to you. So they pick up the phone, talk. So I take it and I start to talk to this guy. And this guy is Fabio Capello. How are you? He speak to me in French too. And then at the end he said to me, you know what? I tried to take you in November, December for the, you know, transfer windows. But I spoke to Jean-Pierre Papin. He told me what you were thinking. So blah, blah, blah. So, but I have to tell you one thing. Now I'm at the end of the season. So I'm going back to Milan. And you're on my list. I want you to come and play there. I'm saying, okay. So he told me how we are going to play, blah, blah, blah. So he gave me the names, guys and everything. You are going to play on the right side, you know, and so this and that. I'm like, okay, thank you. So that was cool, you know. And I got the phone. Galliani tell me, we also have an agreement. We know that other clubs are also, you know, so we agree also to pay to Bordeaux this. So it's just up to you to decide it if you want. And like that, if you come to us, we are really happy and we will make you feel comfortable being at home. So that's what happened.
So at that moment, then you made the decision that Milan was your destination?
50%, yes. Because, tell you the story why. Because when I was at the academy in Le Havre, 92-93. You know, that period, you remember, everybody remember Milan playing the, you know, the, today we call it the Champions League, but we used to call it
European Cup, I think.
Today we say Champions League, right?
Yeah, Champions League started from
96.
Around that time, I think, yeah.
Yeah.
There was UEFA Cup, there was the Cup Winners Cup.
I don't remember the name anyway, so we need to find out. What was the name?
We need to find out.
Yeah, we need to find out, because that was Champions League. We had Champions League was comes out, but it's like Coppa dei Campioni.
Yeah, Coppa dei Campioni was the all the cup winners.
Yeah.
We're looking it up right now. Mm. Let's see.
I don't remember the name. Coppa dei Campioni. I remember that was the name in Italian, but to say to you in French or in English, what was it?
Hey, but Coppa dei Campioni was... yeah, that would be the Champions League.
That would be the Champions League.
Exactly. You're right. Okay, so what's the European Champions Clubs Cup?
Yeah.
Coupe de Club.
Mm. Coupe de Club was the Coppa dei Coppe. Coupe de Club, yeah. It was like when you were winning the, like, let's say, the Allsvenska Cup and the Italian Cup,
exactly,
you play that.
Exactly.
Then the UEFA Cup was the those who play, Bulas who like, the, because at the time it was only two clubs who go straight,
yes,
to the Coppa dei Campioni. That's what we talk, today we talk about the Champions League.
Yeah.
So the third, the fourth, and the fifth couldn't go to the UEFA Cup, right? Coppa dei Campioni?
Yeah, in English it was just, I'm looking up here, it was simply the European Cup.
European Cup?
Yeah, the full name was the European Champion Clubs Cup.
European Champions Club.
Yeah, and then in French, Coupe de Club Champion,
European. Coupe de Champion, Coupe de Champion.
Ah, oui.
Coupe de Champion, yeah. So, I saw Milan against Bucharest final. I saw Marseille against Milan.
Who was it that scored with Ngoti?
No.
It was 1-0.
Marseille won and it was...
Boli.
So what I wanted to say, that Bucharest game, you saw Gullit, Rijkaard, Van Basten. Then I said to my friends when I was in the academy in Le Havre, one day I will play for AC Milan. Then they was like, ah, come on, you're joking. It was funny. But then, so when you ask me after I have met a Galliani, from me, that things come back to my head. And then, yeah, from there, I said to myself, and I said to my friend, I will play for that team. And also because Milan had the bad period from 95, 96, you know, team had to change. Everybody was questioning about a lot of players. Barresi had to stop, Tassotti had to stop. So club had to be rebuilt. And I thought about the story that I had with Bordeaux in 96. And I thought that it would be the same with Milan. So that's obviously, it was more easy to go for Arsenal. To be honest, if I wasn't going to Milan, I would go to Arsenal.
Did you make the decision there before the tournament with the national team that summer?
I made that because I wanted to be focused on the tournament and also to make it everything goes with speculation, to not being, you know, on my head and having the same question all the time. So I decided, and when I get the interview about that, I said to myself and I said to everyone, that decision will be made before the tournament. And that's what I did.
How did you do then in that tournament?
That tournament, it was a great tournament, to be honest, because it was a tournament with three other teams who was like world known. You know, history, Brazil, what everybody knows. Italy, everybody knows about them. And England winning also, you know. So with in England, some guys with Alan Shearer, David Beckham, Owen. You know, it was just something, you know, Seaman. It was, it was, you know, stand-up, you know. And to the other end, you have Brazil with Ronaldo, Bebeto, Roberto Carlos, Leonardo. Great team. Then Italy. My opponent will be Paolo Maldini. I'm laughing because I was a kid. And, you know, being a kid, you playing, like I told you, at the beginning as a left back, you have to look about, you know, those guys. You know, I was looking at him and the way he's playing because I was playing a left back. So, you know, you want to take some from. And it was a great moment, you know, a fan of someone that you used to see, and then that day playing against him, you having him in the front of you, and then you know that you signed on his team for the next season, so he's going to be your teammate. That was great. Every game was fine. I played against Brazil first game, And I play against Italy for the last game because we had three games on those three games. So I played two games. It was great, a great experience, a great atmosphere. And I really enjoyed it playing against him because, like I said, you know, being a fan of him and seeing him playing and then compete against him, you know, that was something great and something fun for me. I really loved it. And at the end, you know, following years, he was going to be my captain. He was my captain.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
You move to Milan, you move out of France, a new country, new language, a very new team at the very top level with some of the best players around. How was that initial experience like?
It comes in, it's a different world, it's a different mentality, it's a different life. Because when I came to Milan, everything was changed. Everything was like, for me, already from border, it was something great. But I was like going to like superpower, you know, a club with like, you comes in, you have a driver come and pick you up. They give you a cell phone, a house, everything was being taken care of. Everything was already fixed. It was nothing that you comes in and saying, oh, I miss this or I miss this. Everything what the club was doing for, not only for me, for everyone, was like, you have to be focused on your training, nothing else. And this is where you see, you know, greatness. And this is where you see teams and clubs. And then you can say, these clubs are history. And yeah, Milan was history.
When you got there, who were the players that impressed you the most?
Well, you know, the thing is like, you comes in, I'm 21. 22, you see guys who played the final of Champions League, Savicevic, Boban, Maldini, Costa Curta, Albertini, De Zai, Leonardo, and we came with a lot of other guys, you know, we was like, also there, that's the funny thing, it was like 30 new guys, Clivert, Weah was there, Leonardo comes in, Davids were there, Bogart, so it was a mix of French and Dutch guy coming in Italy, in Milan. And the new coach come back, obviously Fabio Capello as a coach. So everything was, you know, new. Everything was like, okay, something I have to rebuild, you know. And then that was exciting, you know. It was something really exciting to do. And I wanted to be part of that, yeah.
Most people know of Fabio Capello and his, you know, he's a tactical mastermind. People say that he's very tough, that he's very, very driven. It's all about, you know, winning. Tell me something about him that you noticed and experienced that isn't part of the common knowledge. And where I'm going with that is I'd love to understand what makes him who he is.
I'm going to give you an example. Capello, training, you run, you do exercise, and you do things, you know, you think, okay, everything is normal. And then you talk to your teammate or you laugh about your with something that happened during the training. Capello will tell you, nope. You don't laugh, you don't talk, you just focus on the work. Because if the game comes in, you won't be laughing. So you know what you will have to do if you want to win. So you have to be focused. And he start from that training, you know, from that session to give you the idea what tomorrow would be. Winning, how you win, being focused. And that's what I had from him. That's what every player today who had the chance to being coached by him or being on his team will get. Obviously, that's true. He's tough. He's superstitious. But at the end, he know how to, you know, to push you, to bring the best of you. And some like it, some other don't like it. But, you know, today, if I say to you that many guys like it because they have win something with him, And the question is, many coaches today, some of them have been with him, Guardiola, been coached by Capello. And I believe he had taken something from him. You know, it's because at the end, being coach means taking stuff from different opportunity and different experiences that you had. And you always want to take the best of those people that you have that chance to work with. And yeah.
You mentioned that he was superstitious. In what way?
He's superstitious because the way that he, if he have the team win, those 11 will always be in those 11. Those changemen that he do, he will do it in the same time, the same period. If it's like 60 minutes a change, it will be the 6 minute change. And if that guy he had put in and the team win, he will do the same guy get in. You understand what I mean? So this is where I said that was the superstition.
What would be some of the things he wanted you to work on or improve on?
Being a winger at the time, he wanted me to improve my finishing. Okay, be able to do the 1v1 running on the part, being at the end and crossing. But, you know, crossing or making a pass is so many things. And it's not only about you. And I have learned that. Everything what I used to do before was a creativity from myself. But it made me become more understanding my teammate where they was. And trying to do less things, which is like going to make me tired during the game and be more performing. So this is where I have learned a lot with him because, you know, example, I'm a winger. I go to the end, I have to make a cross. It's three possibilities. First post, second, and back. Those are the three options. The last option that you had is like you have to shoot if you don't see none of them. So this is those I work a lot. Also, with him, I used to do a lot of technical things, which is like before the training session, you know, the control. Things easy, but will come to at the end during the game, something that I really needed because everything depends on my control. If I have to pass my opponent, you know, everything was on that, the first touch. And I did a lot of session.
How did you do that first season in adapting to the league and to a different style?
To be honest, first of all, the first game wasn't not so good. That's true. The first game I had, I scored. The first game I had in Milan-Lazio, that was the first game on 97-98. We did 1-1 against Lazio. First game at San Siro, I scored. But I wasn't really, because it was a different culture, it was a different mentality. The tactical part was really like tight, so everything was different. And I had to start in something that in Italy, people, they look at you, they see games, they're going to get everything, every details about their players against their players, you know, to understand the things. So that's what happened. So yeah, I had to work on to understand that better. And it wasn't easy at the beginning. And I had difficulties at the beginning.
How was life outside of the team, living in Milan with the prestige of the team, with the pressure that comes with that, both from fans and from the media? How did you live through that?
You know, like I told you earlier, it was something like a different perspective, different life, different way to live everything in Italy. I had to have someone who to drive me because if I had to go somewhere to eat or whatever, you have fans, people know you, and people want to take pictures. And it was, everybody knows, and it was a lot of gossip, you know. It wasn't anymore about only football. It was outside football things, you know. The way you dress, if they know where you go to eat, or where you go and get your stuff, what car you drive. Everything is on the news. Everything is on the, you know, on the papers. Even if I say hi to a girl that everybody knows, that's the things in Italy. That was the things in Italy in that period. Obviously, you know, it's a team because the owner, everybody knows he's the owner. So, you know, things getting bigger and bigger and bigger. So, I was single. So, you know, it's different compared to guys. It was just like Paolo was married and others was already married. So for me, everything was, you know, totally different compared to them because, you know, the life they had, they already been in the club and they know the rules and they know everything. For me, it was something totally different. And the way that I live or that I used to live when I was in France was going to change. France, I couldn't play. But then after that, after the game is over, I can do whatever I want. You know, I have to just go and train and focus. But Milan was like, you have to preserve your private life because otherwise everything will be out on the news and on the TV. So that was totally something different that I'm not used to. So it was a big change, man.
So this is 97, we get into 98. How did it then, like the participation with the French national team, obviously you all had this big goal of the World Cup. Unfortunately, you didn't get to the World Cup. How was that period leading up to that? And how was that moment when you found out that you weren't going?
Like I said, you know, you asked me a question was if I had the period with the world with Milan on that season. To be honest with you and with myself, I had a great year because you go to Milan, AC Milan, great team, great player. You play 35 games in the league, 15 assists in the league. You can't say that was a bad year. Obviously, the team did not did well. That's for sure. Milan did not do well because we finished at 10th, I believe, in that league at that season. Lost the Italian league. I was tired at the end of that season because it was, you know, like I told you, a lot of change physically and mentally. But anyone who do that would say that it was a great period. You know, it was a great season personally. But I guess that people go and look about the result, about the team, not about yourself. And then we would say that Milan had the bad period on that year.
When you found out that you didn't go to the World Cup, how did you handle that?
Well, in consequences of about the team, I believe, we had the pre-tournament, pre-training. Then we was 28. We was in Clairefontaine, our training ground. The first 3 days we've been training. Then one night I get a phone call. No, someone come and knock at my room and he said to me, listen, the coach wanted to talk to you. Okay. So when I went to the coach room, Nicolas Anelka, Sabri Lamouchi, Pierre Legge, Martin Jetou, Letizi, and me was in the room. So first of all, I thought that was like, you know, a meeting that, you know, to talk with different players, you know. So the coach started to talk. And then he's saying to us, guys, you guys are here because the reason why we had to make a decision to let guys go because after we made, you know, see what's going to happen during the World Cup and all the games that we are going to have also tactically and then also against those teams that we are going to play, you guys are not selected to do the World Cup. Okay. So my first question, obviously, after he finished it, it was like, how can it be if you know those teams that we are going to play against are going to play like that, and you made decision on that, but what would be happen if you pass through against those teams? It don't make sense. Never had the answer on that. Then he said to us, listen, for right now, this decision has been made, but it's not 100% because before the tournament, I believe 1 week before, 2 weeks before the tournament, something can be changed because if someone get injured or whatever it is, 23 years old, you hear that? The first things that you have in your head is like, no, I'm not going to wait and see if somebody get injured. It comes, you don't take me. Fine. I leave and good luck to you and to your team. That's what I said and that's what I did. He said to us, if we were going to stay and sleep there and the day after to leave. I said to myself and I said to him and Nicolas Anelka said the same thing. No, you're not taking us. I'd rather leave now. I said to stay here and sleep here. I can't sleep. So that night, obviously, when you call your friend and to tell them you're not going to and it happened like that. We had at the end, we had, when we were leaving, we had, you know, all the TV and everything was outside. So someone had talked to the journalist. So to tell them about it. So, yeah, that's the way that we find out we are not going.
Big disappointment.
Yes. I mean, you know, it's that's true. I never expected to do it because at the end, the way that things happen to my career, you don't think about those stuff. But at the end, after being able to do all those steps, different progression from Le Havre, Bordeaux to Milan, I'm not talking only about me, but I think for everyone who play football, that, you know, arriving at the end in your career, trying to do the World Cup, it is something as a football player you desire, you want it to do, you know, and like as an athlete, as a runner, doing the Olympic or doing the World Cup, you know, the achievement of that. It didn't happen. Big disappointment, but life is not everything is gold, you know. So I mean, so you have to learn that, and you have to try to let it go. Even sometimes it's difficult. It was very difficult to let it go, because if you were going to say it and to talk to someone about that, no one couldn't say to you, no, he's not going to do it. Everybody believed it. Everybody thought it. So you don't think you're not going to be part of that team. Yeah, it happened. And what I did, instead to go and watch the World Cup, I've been training during the World Cup to get back at work with Milan. That's what I did.
After that, continue with Milan, you had a couple of loan spells in between. We don't need to go into great length into that, but how would you maybe summarize just that period of continue with Milan and you're loaned a couple of times? And what I'm trying to get to here, you know, as a player to deal with these changes, most often you're not in charge of your own destiny. So how would you summarize that, and how did you go through these periods over the next few years?
But first of all, you know, the reason why I go for loan, because first of all, the 1998 after the World Cup, well, with Milan, 98 season, 98-99, we win the league. But I did not play so much, so I wanted to play. So having not a good relationship with the coach, so the club and me had to make a decision, and obviously I wanted to play, so they wanted me to play too. So they sent it to me alone. I started to play because I was, you know, it was a difficult period. So I started to play, but then things sometimes happen, so I get injured. So that was one of the difficult parts in my life, because at the end, you know, because of that injury, things have changed. I had to be 14 months without playing. When you come back, coach or no coach, you have to show that you can play. But if you don't get the opportunity to play, you can be in shape physically, but it's something missing. If you play once a while, then it's getting, you know, more difficult.
Then in 2003, you got to the Premier League, to Bolton, with some pretty big profiles as teammates, including JJ Okocha, and I believe Djorkaeff was there at the time as well. How was the transition over to the Premier League in an entirely different environment and playing style?
Well, like you said, a different style, a different mentality, a different work, different in everything. Italy, tactic, work every day on your game, understanding how, against who you are going to play, and come to England where it is, you are able to run 90 minutes, great. You're not, it's going to be difficult. Like you mentioned it earlier, great player, JJ Okocha, technically something unbelievable. Djorkaeff, that everybody knows with the national team, with Inter too. Then you come to this club, you know, a club that I needed probably because smaller, more family, different guys from different culture, Danish, Jamaican, Nigeria, France. It was a mix of everything in the club. With the coach that we know recently what happened to him with the national team.
Mr. Sam Allardyce.
Yes. He was a guy that, you know, for us as a foreigner, he understood us, you know. Of course, his football wasn't pleasant because, to be honest, he wasn't pleasant. He was an English-style football, you know. But he knew how to push the button.
In what way?
He knew how to talk. Like you saying, yeah, like you were asking, you know, so when you play football, when you do sport, you have a lot of guys with different mentality and different personality. You have to understand all of them. you have to understand if you have to go to yell to somebody or you have to go to talk to him like, I'm going to give you the sweet. You know, it's so mixed things. And then you have to understand all of those things, you know, which is like something not easy. It's crazy because at the end, it's not anymore about being a coach. Even though coaching means like drive somebody, you know, and then bring the best of those guys. But it's more about mental. So let's say that today being a coach for me, the meaning is being a psychologist. Because you have to understand the mentality about everyone. Because if you're a manager of those guys, you have to understand all of the things. And you have to be able to analyze that and to go and talk to the guy. And then this is something that some have. Some had that.
Do you have any opinions on what's been happening lately with him?
He knows. He knows how things work. You know, the thing is like, we don't have to think that we are bigger than any others. Because at the end, the way that we grew up, we don't have to change that. We made mistake. Everybody make a mistake. But like I said, you know, never think that you can be bigger than anyone because you get the job. So today, this job that he did and others do, we are here. Tomorrow, someone else will be there.
You had a couple of shorter spells, both in Turkey and then in Sweden, in Djurgården. And I remember the time, and it was a big news and a big shocker that you ended up in cold Sweden. You showed up one winter, I believe it was. Just take me through that.
You know, it was a funny thing because basically I was in Turkey. I'm playing over there, and then I had a bad situation with the team that I was because not being paid for 5 months. So at the end, I decided to move. So I went back to Milan, been training over there, and a friend of mine called me and said to me, listen, are you willing to try something new? And I said, okay, what are we talking about? He said, Sweden. I said, oh, okay. I do remember to play against the national team 2 times, under 21, and with the national team, the first team. So with the first team, we played in Paris. And the second, when I was in under 21, we played with the national team, the Espoir, that what they used to call it. And I remember Anke Larsen at the time being with his Rasta. So that was a cool thing, you know, that was a cool moment. So I'm saying, okay, yeah, why not? Let's see, you know, what's going on. So I remember arriving to Skafta. And arriving there, I remember I'm like saying to myself, but I don't remember to being here at the time that I came to play because that was not this airport. And it was the Arlanda airport at the first time. Anyhow, and yeah, I came in the winter, December. So I had to train for a week with this team. Bosse Andresen, who was the sport director, came and picked me up, put me to the hotel. Yeah, I had to train with the club and with the team. I had a great moment, even though it was really cold. But I enjoyed it. The atmosphere, I enjoyed it. People around me, the way that they accepted me. And after that week, I said to my friend, yo, it's not about the money. But yeah, I like it here. So yeah, that's the way that happened.
What was your impression about the football there? We spoke about it here before we got started and about preseason training and how they go about that.
You know, when I came in, the season was over. So it was something like I said to you, it was in December, January, December, something like that. So the team was still training. So I had like a period of training for like 3 months preseason, which is like normally, yeah, 1 month maximum. So I had this preseason, which is like the first month, which was like gym, indoor, running, weight training. So which is like something like usually you do it in a mix, you know, in 2 weeks. And that was something really, really like strange for me compared with what I used to do. But you know, every country, every culture are different. Even though I do not believe on that, because I didn't believe on that. But yeah, we won the league in 2005 and also win the cup. So I guess for the club, for the coaches, it was right to do. But I do not believe on that.
If there is one or two things they should improve on and learn from the top of the game, what would those things be?
I believe they have to work more about the academy and not only thinking about those guys who go away, because being there I think they are more focused on seeing those players who go and play abroad and not to focus on the guys who playing in the Swedish league. Because we have to understand, they have to also know that, you know, those guys, before they go away, they've been playing in the league. So that was one thing that I believe that, you know, the Allsvenska have to be, you know, more promoted. You know, they have to be focused on more on that. And the kids, because the training and everything, you have so many talented kids, but today what's happening that all of them want to go away because the, for them to play in the national team, that's the thing. If you don't go away, like playing outside of the country, you won't play in the national team. And that's wrong. That's wrong because you don't have 20 Zlatan. You can make 20 Zlatan. So, before Zlatan became what he is, he had to play in Sweden.
Could you see yourself ever go there to work as a coach?
Hopefully, yes, I do. Because it is something that I have learned a lot over there. And for me, it is a place that I love, to be honest. Yeah, I would love to be able to coach over there, yeah.
I just want to shift the conversation a little bit. And I want to ask you, with your experience growing up in very multicultural France, in a very multicultural national team and environment and the neighborhood that you come from, did you ever experience racism?
Yes, I did. I mean, I did it in France. I did it in Italy. I did it in Turkey. But, to be honest, we live that everywhere. So I think this is also something that we should not be talked so much because that give, you know, publicity to those people who are like that. Because I believe that today in 2016, we should be able to be together and work together with different community, with different culture, with different color. And then because that's the beauty of this world, you know, today, and then being peaceful. And I'm Muslim, but that does not mean that I cannot go out with my friends. Or if they want to drink, I don't drink. It doesn't matter. But my friends, I'm not going to look at them because he's white or because he's Chinese or because he's South American, whatever it is. It's a feeling. It's the understanding each other, having respect between each other. And so for me, this is the most important thing than any other stuff. I grew up in Africa. I grew up in Senegal, West Africa, which is like a country which is like 70%, 80% of the country are Muslim. But we never had the civil war when it comes to religion. So I don't understand that today I don't understand why we have to talk between the differences between black and white. The opportunity should be for everyone. And we have to focus that making things better and having only respect. And today I'm sitting here talking with you, different culture. But at the end, we're having fun. And this is, it's a respect, you know, it's a common respect. For me, that's all about, you know, and any clubs, any culture, everywhere we should be, it should be the same, you know, respect.
Knowing what you know today, is there anything you would have done differently in your career?
To be honest, no, because life is made of full of beauty and sadness. But at the end, because of all of this, today we are here and talking about it. Because if I had only beautiful things to say, it won't be interesting.
What are your dreams and goals for the future?
Like what we were saying, like the few questions that you asked me earlier, you know, about sociality, you know, I'm a black guy, of course, but I don't take nothing because, or I don't believe about that. Because I'm a black, nobody gonna give me the opportunity. What I wanted to say is like, I believe that we all of us have the opportunity to do something that we like, we want to do. And my goal is, yes, being successful as a coach. Even though I know it's not so many doing it, but that's what I want to do. This is my goal.
If you were to describe your coaching style, is there a way of describing that?
You know, being coach at the end is two things. Then people will look result. But result, it doesn't mean winning. I can win making different culture and different people work together because this is also winning and also, you know, titles. So it's a mix of everything. But to answer your question, if today we have to look about someone to take as an example, I would say Guardiola or Jurgen Klopp.
Essere sfruttato alla meglio da Ronaldo, vedete Ronaldo che prova ad andarsene in velocità, ma c'è pronto, va, vedete che cappello.
Fantastico, ecco. Fantastico vedere due giocatori, questa intelligenza tattica da parte di Capello, ma due giocatori fare uno scatto praticamente spalla a spalla, in questo caso ha avuto la meglio, Bach è andato in recupero. Sicuramente.
We're getting towards the end, I'm going to shoot a set of rapid fire questions. Favorite team?
AC Milan.
The biggest moment of your career?
My first contract as a football professional.
The best player you've played with?
Zidane.
The best player you've played against?
Ronaldo, 97, when he was playing in Inter.
The best and I guess the most important coach that you've had?
The one who gave me the chat, the one who gave me the possibility to become a professional, Pierre Mankowski.
What advice would you give your 20-year-old self?
Just enjoy the game.
One thing young people or young players should know today that you feel is missed sometimes?
Work, work, work.
Can you give me a couple of book recommendations?
L'Alchimiste. This is one that I always keep with me.
Paulo Coelho.
Yes.
I'd like to have a restaurant recommendation in Milan, one in Stockholm, and one in New York.
Milan, Osteria del Corso, Corso Garibaldi. Stockholm, Krem, Birkagotan. New York, I will go to Miss Lily's.
You get to have dinner with three people. Let's assume they can be past or present. Language is not a barrier. Three people in the football world. Who would those three be? And where would you take them?
Maldini, Guardiola, Messi. I think I see myself with them in Jamaica.
That sounds good. Do you have a restaurant there that, or have you been a lot to Jamaica? Or?
Yeah. A lot of friends are over there, so I had the chance to, you know, to know one of the guys that when I was playing in England, and Ricardo Garner. So obviously he's from Kingston, so I had the chance, a lot of possibility to go over there, and then through to him I had meet a lot of people. It is a small country, so obviously everybody's, you know, in the same area, so it is easy to know people and singers and everything, Sean Paul and every other stuff. So yeah, I had a great moment over there, and I still go there, so I love it.
How can people follow you?
My social things is just Instagram and Facebook. That's it. That's all.
But what's your Instagram handle?
Instagram is Ibrahim1973, and when it comes to Facebook, I believe it's Ibrahim Gomba.
Who do you think I should interview in this podcast?
Guardiola.
Maybe you know somebody who can put in a good word there.
Yeah, I do.
Sounds fantastic. He would be a fascinating character.
I believe that too.
Ibu, massive thank you for coming by and taking the time. I truly appreciate that.
It's my pleasure.
It's been a great, great pleasure. I think there's a lot of good stories here, a lot of fantastic learnings. Best of luck in the future.
Thank you.
We will keep an eye on your coaching career.
Thank you.
We'll bring you back on once you're up and running with that.
I'm okay with that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed it. If you did, please subscribe on iTunes, write a review, tell your friend about it. I would truly appreciate it as we grow this podcast one listener at a time. If you have any feedback or ideas, feel free to send me an email at sebastian@coffeeandfootball.com. You can also link up with me via Twitter. The handle is @coffeesfootball. Stay tuned for next week's episode. It will be another amazing one, so you don't want to miss that one. Thanks again, and have an amazing week.
Thank you.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.